Welcome to The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis. I am your host, Cicely Davis.
Welcome back, American Savages, to The Savage Truth. I had to come right back at you because we have breaking news. You know, politics is a lot like emotions. It's subject to change. So again, I had to come right back at you for another episode. Welcome to those of you who are new to the channel. Welcome back and thank you to all you loyalists, you ride or dies, whether you're new or returning. I will continue to ask the same. And you know what it is, as I always do. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review. Please leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And I'd like to thank those platforms for allowing us and the show to be on. Now, let's get into it. In the case of the removal of the president from office, let me read this slowly. In case of the removal of the president from office or of his death of resignation, the vice president shall become president. Do you know what that was? Do you know what that is? It's the 25th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution. You know, our guiding document for the country, our birth certificate, as the great David Horowitz so smartly described. And J.D. Vance is calling for it, and so many other Republicans, rightfully so. So during his second rally of the day, vice presidential nominee J.D. Vance, I really like saying that, vice presidential nominee, J.D. Vance. I like saying that. Once again, called on Democrats to invoke the 25th Amendment following President Biden's announcement on Monday that he was exiting the presidential race. Now, I mentioned this in a previous episode, stating that my immediate question after hearing that Joe Biden dropped out of the presidential run was, how can he only retire from the race, but not the presidency right now? If he's unable to do the job, so much so that he is bowing out for the nomination of the upcoming DNC, then how can he remain in as president right now? If he's incapable, then he's incapable right now. That is the basic consensus of most Americans, right? That's just common sense. That's just how your mind logically flows. Again, who's running the White House? Who's running the country? This is still a question that so many Americans have. J.D. Vance made this comment at the rally, to which I agree. Can anybody just admit, and I quote him, can anybody just admit that if Joe Biden is not fit to run for president, he ain't fit to serve as president of the United States either? Now, this is what he asked the crowd, and he goes on. And if Kamala Harris is too blind or too corrupt to admit to the American people that Joe Biden should have never been in there, she's not fit to serve either. We got to get them both out of there. Now, I agree with him on Joe, but I believe it's Kamala who should step in now and face Donald Trump in November. That's just my sole belief, okay? If it's not going to be Joe, then by all means, put Kamala in. The truth is, it doesn't matter whether it's Joe or Kamala. The bottom line is neither one of them have what it takes to replace or beat Donald Trump or beat the Trump-Vance ticket in November, which, by the way, is a little over 100 days from now, right? So we are getting very, very close. He also added that he was just as shocked as everyone else to find out that Biden had dropped out of the race, saying, and I quote, my wife told me that Joe Biden had decided to withdraw from the presidential race. Now, see, you guys are excited about that, right? I don't know. I was looking forward to debating Kamala Harris, actually, Vance said. I was promised a debate with Kamala Harris, and that's what I plan to get. And he goes on to state that making Harris the presidential nominee is dangerous, as she is even worse than Joe Biden, as we all know and have stated savagely, truthfully on this show, stating that Joe Biden is not just a quitter, but one of the worst presidents in American history. And I think we can all agree to that. But Kamala Harris, he says, is a million times worse, and everybody knows it. Listen to this. And he stated this, and I quote, she signed up for every single one of Joe Biden's failures, and she lied about his mental capacity to serve as president. Our country has been saddled for 3.5 years with a president who cannot do the job. And this is all because Kamala Harris and the rest of the Democrats lied about his ability to be our president. I think we ought to kick them all out come November and replace him with some people who care about this country, end of quote. Now, Vance also added more points about Harris and her failure to secure the border. Look, I'm actually tuning in to really remark about this Kim Cheadle situation and her remarkable failure and now resignation as director of the U.S. Secret Service. So I will comment on this and move on. But is the 25th Amendment applicable in this situation? Quintessentially, this is exactly what the amendment calls for, and it perfectly applies in this situation. But what do we know about Kamala and Joe? What do we know about them? They don't, and they won't operate according to the Constitution at this point. I don't even think they even know the Constitution very well and its amendments at all, for that matter, or at least do they even care? Like I said, I'm not giving them a pass on not abiding by it. I just fully understand that they're going to leave Joe in and find some loophole or make something up or just ignore everyone altogether and do what they want to do it as they always do. And the left media will ignore it. They won't report it, and or they will pretend like this is not a thing. I would like nothing more than a debate. Okay, understand this. I would like nothing more than a debate between Kamala and JD. That's more of an interest to me than anything. I want the same level of embarrassment shown on Kamala as Joe showed in his debate with Donald Trump. I want that to happen, to finally convince those voters who, after all this has been revealed about the failures and the corruption and the ineptitude of the Democratic Party under this administration, that this is a sham of an administration. It's a sham of a candidate for president and was a 3.5-year sham and corruption of a president in Joe Biden. And if they so choose to vote for Kamala, you're just going to get even more. It's going to be deeper and more serious and more profound and more inept of a leadership than Joe Biden was through the leadership of Kamala Harris, if you can even call it leadership. OK, but with Joe, in spite of his senility and corruption, he still had some likability, I guess. Remember, with Kamala, much of her staff quit or left because she was so unlikable. She was unbearable to work for. They didn't like her. They didn't like the feel of the administration when she ran as the presidential nominee. Remember this, when she was running as a Democrat presidential nominee, she only received 2% or less of the vote, barely 2%. Meaning Democrat voters didn't like her then. And I don't think much has changed. And that being said, whether it's Kamala or Joe, like I said, none of them can beat Donald Trump. And Kamala, no matter whom she chooses for VP, will be hard fought to overcome the Trump-Vance ticket because Trump's popularity is at its height right now. And JD's appeal is wide and long and strong and deep with the working class, with swing voters, with Gen Z, with millennials, and those who are desperate for something and someone new. He has such a strong crossover appeal, and it will be hard to beat. And he's only going to get better. That's the thing that's so encouraging. JD Vance is only going to get better. And I think coupled under the leadership and the stardom of Donald Trump, I think JD Vance is here to stay for a very long time within the Republican Party and be a real strong leader and someone to really watch out for. So congratulations to Kamala, okay, for raising, you know, her $50 million. Now some say it's even upward of $100 million in donations since Joe's dropout. Congratulations on raising that money. You're going to need it. And now on to what this episode is really, truly all about, what I really wanted to cover here. Forgive, I'm on my deck and my dog has been running around the episode. So that was Roland, my miniature pincher. He's my running buddy. He's my number one pal. But on to the story that I really want to focus in, because like I said, in politics, stick around 5 minutes, just like your emotions, it's subject to change. Kim Cheadle, director of the United States Secret Service, is out. She resigns. Okay, let me start out this way. And I quote, "This agency and the Secret Service has a zero fail mission." In the statement alone, she should have resigned, or Biden should have fired her. So we're going to get into this because this is an open and shut issue. Secret Service Kimberly Cheadle is out. She said on Monday that her agency failed in its mission to protect former President Donald Trump when she was testifying in front of Congress as lawmakers of both major political parties demanded during a highly contentious congressional hearing that she resign over security failures that allowed a gunman, a 20-year-old, to scale a roof and open fire at a campaign rally. I'm sorry, she was berated for hours by Republicans and Democrats, repeatedly angering lawmakers by evading questions about the investigation during the first hearing over the July 13th assassination attempt. Cheadle called the attempt on Trump's life to the Secret Service as, quote, the most significant operational failure in decades. And we all agree. And she even vowed to move heaven and earth to get to the bottom of what went wrong and make sure there's no repeat of it. Democrats were trying to use the failure to push to get rid of the guns agenda, right? That's what their whole agenda was, a lot of them. Not all, just a small few. And Republicans were more interested in the actual details that Americans want to know. We have some questions. And the number one question being, why is she still employed? That was yesterday. As of this morning, she resigned under that pressure. And she stated in the beginning, flat out, that she failed. The Secret Service solemn mission is to protect our nation's leaders. On July 13th, we failed, end of quote. Now, Cheadle acknowledged that the Secret Service was told about a suspicious person 2 to 5 times before the shooting at the Butler, Pennsylvania rally. She also revealed that the roof from which Thomas Matthew Crooks opened fire had been identified as a potential vulnerability days before the rally. Cheadle said she apologized to Trump in a phone call after the assassination attempt. Yet, Cheadle remained defiant that she was the right person to lead the Secret Service, even as she said she takes full responsibility, the Secret Service and its lapse. Now, Republican Representative Nancy Mace suggested Cheadle began drafting her resignation letter from the hearing room, and Cheadle responded, no, thank you. That was, again, yesterday. In a rare moment of unity for the often divided committee, the Republican chairman, Representative James Comer, and its top Democrat representative, Jamie Raskin. Somebody should do something about that man's hair. We could do a whole episode on that. They issued a letter calling on Cheadle to step down. This subpoena was obviously the right call, okay? The right thing to do. When Kimberly Cheadle led the Secret Service's operation to safeguard the American president and other dignitaries, she said that she would talk to agents in training about, quote, the awesome responsibility of their job. But she should have been fired, okay? What does it take? That's my question. She should have been fired. What, oh, what does it take for this administration to actually fire people who are inept at their job? What does it take to get fired in this administration? Well, then again, you know, when the president himself is inept along with his vice president, what can you expect? I guess you can't see the forest from the trees, okay? This agency, quote, and the Secret Service has a zero fail mission. I'm gonna keep pushing that. This is what she said in 2021 during a Secret Service podcast called Standing Post. They have to come in every day prepared and ready with their game face on. Now, the entire Secret Service and its director are under intense scrutiny over that zero fail mission following the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump during that July 13th rally in Pennsylvania, where his ear was wounded. Lawmakers and others across the political spectrum are questioning how a gunman can get so close to Republican presidential nominee when he was supposed to be carefully guarded. He didn't even have sufficient coverage at the podium. Anyone could have jumped from the podium, from the front row to the podium to attack the former president. So a 20-year-old was allowed to carry an AK into a rally, climb a rooftop, and outsmart the Secret Service. There were actually people at the rally who were pointing him out, you know, saying, hey, there's a guy up there. He looks suspicious. Someone should check that out. Right? Giving all these warnings. They were pointing him out at the rally before. And let's not forget that Christopher Wray, who in April stated emphatically that since October 7th, the attack on Israel in concert with Joe Biden's non-existent border or the enforcement of our border policies, that Donald Trump and his protection were really under advance threat. The ones that actually worked warned the Congress that we are under serious threat, even more so than 9/11, to which Kim Cheadle and her Secret Service said she was briefed on that fact and then allowed a man with an AK into a rally overtly because people were pointing him out to make an attempt on the former president's life. Remember, he said this, and I quote, foreign terrorists, this is by FBI Ray, foreign terrorists, including ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and other adherents have renewed calls for attacks against Jewish communities here in the United States and across the West in statements and propaganda. The foreign terrorist threat and the potential for a coordinated attack here in the homeland, like the ISIS-K attack we saw at the Russia concert hall a couple of weeks ago, is now an increasing concern. October 7th and the conflict that it's followed will feed a pipeline of radicalization and mobilization for years to come. Now, remember, that warning came as experts predicted ISIS will try to carry out an attack right here in the United States, because after all, our border doesn't exist and we've let them just walk right on in. Listen, I can get all riled up about this. And again, I don't think that this is in dispute. If Kim had any decency, she would have resigned almost immediately after the shooting. If Mayorkas was qualified, because he is her boss, okay, keep that in mind, Mayorkas is her boss. If he were qualified, he should have fired her. And then Joe Biden should have overrode him if he couldn't do the job, because he clearly can't. And he should have fired her. Either way, we have more ineptitude, more failure, by the way, of the Biden administration. Now, there's rumors out there now that she knew who the cocaine belonged to and was kind of holding that over Joe Biden's head in order to remain in her position as a threat to Joe Biden, allegedly implying that, of course, that it belonged to Hunter Biden. We don't know. That's all speculation. The bottom line is the lady's out, and that's a good thing. But the other issue and angle I want to focus on right now is this whole DEI thing and how it's gone way too far and it needs to be addressed. So when you saw the Secret Service jump on Donald Trump to cover him, we were grateful. We're so grateful right now. Grateful to God that he is alive. Right? Absolutely. And I think people on both sides of the aisle can agree with that. We're grateful that he survived. But when you couldn't help but think about the logistics and what went down after he survived, right? I mean, Trump is 6'3", and there's a round 5'4 woman supposedly trying to protect him. How can she do that? What man would feel protected with a 5'4 woman sent to be his shield? I mean, we have to be honest about this conversation. I'm a woman coming at you with these comments, okay? I am a female. I'm going to say it today. Kim Cheadle's resignation as director of the United States Secret Service marks a significant turning point for an agency that has been marred by controversy and failure under her leadership. Her tenure was characterized by a series of high-profile security lapses, most notably her inability to adequately protect the former president. This failure raised serious concerns about the effectiveness of the Secret Service, undermining public confidence in an institution tasked with safeguarding the nation's most critical leaders. Furthermore, Cheadle's oversight during these breaches reflected a troubling lapse in the rigorous standards that the Secret Service is known for, ultimately leading to her departure amidst growing criticism. This is what I have to say. Cheadle's resignation, it came on the heels of her embarrassing testimony before Congress, where she struggled to provide satisfactory explanations for the numerous security failures on her watch. Her inability to address the pressing questions posed by lawmakers only intensified scrutiny and highlighted the depth of the issues within the agency. The American people deserve a Secret Service that operates with the highest levels of professionalism, of competence and accountability. The failures during Cheadle's directorship underscored the urgent need for reform and strong leadership to restore trust and ensure the safety of our nation's leaders. Both Biden and Trump have released statements on the resignation, of course. Now, out of respect, I will read Donald Trump's statement first. Here's what he said. She never gave me proper protection, so I ended up having to take a bullet for democracy. This is what he said Tuesday morning after she resigned. Many requests were made by on-site Secret Service for more people, always with a turndown or no response. I have the biggest crowds in history, and they should be treated accordingly. Here was Joe Biden's released statement. Okay, now he released a statement. He didn't say this in person. I must point that out. But he praises her. He praises her, saying that he is grateful to her for her decades of public service. She has selfishly dedicated and risked her life to protect our nation throughout her career in the United States Secret Service. We especially thank her for answering the call to lead the Secret Service during our administration, and we are grateful for her service to our family, said Biden. As a leader, it takes honor, courage, and incredible integrity to take full responsibility for an organization tasked with one of the most challenging jobs in public service. The independent review to get to the bottom of what happened on July 13th continues, and I look forward to assessing its conclusions. We all know what happened that day can never happen again. As we move forward, I wish Kim all the best, and I will plan to appoint a new director soon. No, thank you. We do not need Joe Biden to choose anyone. Now, he started that statement saying, Jill and I. Why is he including Jill? Okay, this is not a condolence speech. This is about you stepping up as a leader and firing someone who failed in her position. This is where we need to be savagely truthful right now. There are some places, some circumstances where women don't belong. And the Secret Service is one of them. If that's controversial, so be it. It needs to be said. The Secret Service is a man's duty. It's a man's job. It's a man's domain. It's a man's profession. Everyone feels safe when a man, with a man as a protector. Everyone. For Donald Trump, because of his stature, it's better and needs to be a big burly man. Okay. So after the RNC, you can see that his Secret Service protection had changed. They were all bigger in stature. They were burly guys. They were taller. This is suitable. This is what is required. We need people with stature and skill and swiftness and agility and capability to protect someone who will kill without hesitation. Now, you can say that there are a lot of women who are qualified with exceptional stature. And to that, I say those are the exceptions, but those are just still exceptions. I am not at all saying that the women who exist in the Secret Service right now should be fired or terminated. They should keep their jobs. I'm just saying there is a very specific place for them, okay? I'm not at all about saying go in through the Secret Service and fire all the women. But I am saying that what we saw was a female leader in a man's capacity, and she failed. And we almost lost a former president. He almost lost his life. And we had a 5'4 woman trying to cover a 6'3 man. Logistically, that does not make sense. And no one under those circumstances would look at that situation and say that it was adequate. Okay. We need men who are stronger because they are. Men are simply stronger. They're faster and they're more agile. And as a result of this whole DEI obsession of the left, we got more ineptitude, more mediocrity, more poor performance, and less than excellent outcomes than we get more failure. The profound problem with the DEI obsession in this circumstance, however, nearly cost the life of Donald Trump. It cost the life of a brave firefighter, and it wounded a lot of other American citizens. It's not controversial to say that a woman should not be head of a Secret Service. No matter how experienced she is, her previous position, or the success she had in those previous positions, the truth is, if given a choice in the case of protection of you or your loved ones and or of your property, all people would choose a guy that is built like a brick house who wouldn't hesitate to give himself or his life to protect. You would want that tough guy who is unafraid, fearless, and has no doubt as to who he is and what he's there to do. When the chips are down, you want that big guy. I'm not saying at all that women in the Secret Service, again, should quit, but we got to be clear about our roles. The Biden administration failed, and a 20-year-old outsmarted the U.S. Secret Service under Kim Cheadle's leadership. The culture of this country needs to change from the top down by way of leadership and governance, not culture or skin color, but of excellence and aptitude, ability, strength, and capability. We need integrity and character and reliability back in D.C., back in the White House, and in all forms of leadership across this nation, local and federal. I'm not blaming the attempted assassination on Kim Cheadle. I blame Joe Biden and his whole administration for this left-wing DEI way of being. Here's the savage truth, and we'll end with this. Never, ever send a woman to do a man's job. Please like, share, subscribe, and leave a positive review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. And remember, as the Secret Service should always be bold, be strong, be faithful, be true. Till next time, I'm Cicely.
The Savage Truth with Cicely Davis is a production of Front Page Magazine and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. Reproduction of this podcast without express written consent is prohibited.